Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, July 13th, the Fashion Has No Gender edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 6. We are in transition, so currently in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm Jamila Lemieux. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I'm dad to Noah, who is nearly 6, and Ami, who is nearly 3. We live in Detroit, Michigan.
Well, today on the show, we have a little boy who loves skirts, a grandma who isn't sure what to make of it, and a parent who's worried that a very special bond will be broken over clothing choices. How can she bridge the gap and make sure everyone feels heard? We're also going to touch base on our week in parenting, and if you're sticking around for Slate Plus, we're discussing some decades-old comic strips and what they say about the evolution of parenting. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
I've always in my head said goofus and gallant, but is it gallant?
I think it's gallant.
Gallant.
Producers, okay, do you have a ruling?
I mean, I think this speaks gallant to the idea, right? Like that none of us even know how to pronounce it because it was never goofus talked about. This was just like something that existed in this magazine that we read ourselves.
Oh. Yeah. We never had conversations about goofus.
I just did the Google sound thing. Gallant.
Gallant.
I am wrong.
So I was closer.
I am wrong. I am dead wrong, and I apologize. Gallant.
Goofus and gallant.
Goofus and gallant. And so goofus shows kids the wrong thing to do, and gallant shows them the right thing to do.
As a Slate Plus member, you'll get a whole bonus segment every week and all of your favorite Slate podcasts ad-free. It's truly the best way to listen and the best way to support the show. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to jump into triumphs and fails as soon as we get back from this short break.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So, Zach, you're recently back from a trip, and we are dying to know how everything went.
I mean, all in all, it was incredible. We really took a big swing this year and took a 19-day vacation.
Oh my gosh.
And we were able to do that because we stayed in Shira's family's apartment, which they typically rent. This is in Tel Aviv. So we had free lodging for such a long time. It's like the idea of a long vacation is something that seems so far-fetched because it's so hard for so many of us to take that much time off work. But Shira was able to do it on her end, and I was able to do it on my end. And like, I don't know if you know, like if you go on vacation for like 4 or 5 days, it takes like 3 days just to like get into the rhythm, you know? So like by the time you're like really in it, you have to leave and it's sad. This was long enough where like by the time it was over, we were ready to come home, but we had had such a rich full time together. And I mean, nearly three weeks, and we were together 24/7 for the whole time. And like, it was wonderful, partly because we gave the kids so much TV when we were home at the apartment. Like, we would go out in the morning and go to the beach or take a bike ride or go to the park, and we would come home in the middle of the day because it's starting to get hot there, and just like rest. And like, Shira and I would watch a show together, and the kids would watch a show. And then we would go back out, and we were all on the same schedule, which is another thing that we learned actually works. So like we would all go to sleep at like 11 p.m. midnight, and wake up, you know, between like 8 and 10. And so that was great too, because we wouldn't like leave the house in the morning so early and have to expose ourselves to the sun all day. But like, you know, the mornings would be in the apartment. We ate great food. The kids were so sweet together. It wasn't completely surprising, but you know, like when you're spending time with your kids and other people, you kind of get to like see your kids in the eyes of these people who are meeting your kids for the first time. So it's kind of like you learn some new things, or maybe learn some things that you'd been taking for granted. And like two or three of my cousins who live there were like, whoa, she's like, referring to Noah, they're like, she's like a teenager. Like she's going to give you some problems. Like she's like pretty bold and like can be combative and pretty hardcore in a way that I don't know, maybe I guess other 5-year-olds aren't necessarily like this, and I think it's like what makes her so incredible, you know. But it's also like, I want, is that true? Like, is she gonna be like a teenager who is just like merciless, or like, is she going to get it all out of her system now? We're not entirely sure, but people were like, whoa, she's a force. And I knew that, but seeing her through their eyes kind of gave me a new appreciation for who she is. And I wouldn't want it any other way, but it was kind of interesting.
Are your cousins, are they American?
They were born and raised in Israel. Yeah.
I was just wondering how much of that is like cultural, because not to say she isn't a force, but I think like American culture in general, like we raise people that are a little bit more of a force. And I think that can be a good thing. But I just found when we were living abroad, like the things that were really highlighted in my kids when we were there were the things that were like, for better or for worse, like American about us, because we weren't surrounded by that. Right.
Yeah.
So I just find that interesting.
That is, yeah. But I mean, Israelis are known to be super direct and like not into small talk. So I don't think any of that was like a surprise to them. I think she was kind of showed herself to be perhaps like more Israeli than we had given her credit for. Because my wife's mom is Israeli. But yeah, all in all, it was really, really nice.
That sounds amazing. I'm so glad you had a nice time.
Thank you.
Jamila, how has your, I guess, 2 weeks been really?
Well, I have not parented in a really long time. Naima went on a trip with her dad. Her trip was longer. She was gone for 10 days. So we've been apart for 12 days now. I'm getting her back today. So I had to do what I could to fill my time. And I went on 12 dates in 11 days.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
gosh.
Let's go. Give us some highlights.
How are you standing? It seems like so much work.
It's a lot of work.
But when you don't have to parent, you had a reserve of energy, I guess,
know,
huh?
But dating is a lot of work. Like, I know parenting's a lot of work. Dating is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, you know. Some were better than others. Some were a little more casual, you know. But yeah, you know, and I saw one person twice.
I was going to say any repeats. So one repeat,
you know, it was fun. I went on a few of these dates in New Orleans. I was there to speak at the Essence Festival. I knew a couple of these guys previously. Most of them were guys I've met off dating apps. So they were new people. There's a couple that are still around, you know, like we'll see what happens. Nothing too promising, but we'll just see. I got knocked down on my last day. It was Monday night. This was supposed to be my last date. I matched with somebody on Hinge and we'd made plans to meet at Italy. And like, I'd messaged him to confirm and he says, looking forward to it. And then like later, like within 2 hours, he unmatched me. And so I was like, oh my God, like what the hell? And so now I can't communicate with him. So I was like, I can't like go, you know what I mean? Like, and so I ended up making another date. I was like, I will not be defeated. This was supposed to be my last date of my 11-day run and I'm going to have a date tonight. So I messaged another guy and was like, what are you up to? And we went out and had a really great time.
Where do you go from here?
Well, I've got another date planned for Wednesday and another one for Friday. I just keep going, man.
Yes.
I just keep going.
You're on a roll. Okay, when Naima comes back, do you tell her, like, are you guys open about this? Are you like, while you're gone, I went on 12 dates? Or
no? I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, because that might be a little much for her. Like, we do talk about the fact that I date. You know, like I want to be transparent with her about, you know, that and that it's something that matters to me, you know, and also that it's important that you only go out with people that are nice to you and that, you know, you're thoughtful about who you go out with, you know. So obviously I couldn't have been too thoughtful about who I went out with if I went on 12 dates in 11 days. You know what I mean? But I think I will let her know that dating is a big way of how I spent my time away from her.
Elizabeth, how are you? This is a crazy moment for you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. So I'm in Atlanta with the kids at my parents' house while Jeff is in Colorado, like closing out all the things. So house is sold. One of the cars is sold. The other one's going to storage. All the stuff is making its way wherever it's going to go. But while I'm here in Atlanta, I grew up here, so I have a lot of friends here, and my family is here, so that's nice, and I've been able to see a lot of people, but I also try to, like, really make this a good time for the kids doing stuff, and there's this little town called Helen, Georgia, that's in the mountains, and it has all kinds of outdoorsy and, like, wackadoodle things. The Cabbage Patch Doll Babyland General Hospital is there, which I think is one of the weirdest things you
what
can go visit.
What are you even saying? What is that?
It's like where the Cabbage Patch dolls are born.
Like
they're
a factory?
Born from a cabbage, and you can watch one. It is like the cabbage leaves dilate, and there's a person dressed as a nurse, and I'm unsure if it's supposed to be like ironic or not, but they like start this presentation by telling any gentleman that might get queasy that they can go wait in the lobby and pace. I'm really unsure if it's ironic or not. I think it is the most absurd thing, and it's so fun. But it's up there, and we did end up stopping in there yesterday. So we've been up there a bunch, and one of the things they have up there is you can like ride these tubes, and they're bright pink down. The Chattahoochee River runs through there. It looks super fun. I've never done it with the kids, and they always ask. So I thought, well, this will be the trip. But I obviously can't, like, managing three kids on the river by myself is like not a great idea. So I have one of my oldest friends here is a middle school teacher, so she's off for the summer, and she has a stepson who's older and is gone with his mom this week, so she is childless. So I'm like, hey, you're free. Do you want to come do this river tubing with me? She's like, yeah, this sounds great. So we...
Oh, that's nice.
We get there, and I had made all the arrangements, so I go in to get the, like, wristbands, and they keep asking me if we need, like, sticks, and I'm like... I mean, I've been tubing a million times. We've never needed sticks. So they have these like broom handles and they're $5. And I'm like, we don't need sticks. But they do tell me that if we like, there are other places we can get these because this is just like the check-in and we still have to get on the bus. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I, you know, see my friend Mary. I'm like, do you think we need these sticks? Like, have you tubed here before? She's like, I've never tubed here, but I don't know. I've never taken sticks tubing. And both of us are like, we do this a lot. So no sticks. we get on the bus and they drive you, like, we're parked where you get out of the river, and they drive you up and we're like looking at the river, and there's just like everyone on these tubes is either stuck or they have some kind of like pole thing. Right. So we're like rustling through the stuff we decided to bring with us in the sweat bag to see if we have money, because we're like, we better buy these broom handles. So we do, when we get up there, buy two sticks, because I decided, listen, the other thing is, like, children with sticks are a bad idea. And these are like big, thick broom handly things. So we get two of them and we're in these tubes, and like 8 minutes into the ride, we've already used the sticks so many times that I'm like, why are these optional? I mean, the tubes, like, don't really fit. So you have to use these sticks to, like, push yourself. Well, poor Henry just had to, like, get out and swim because we couldn't really keep him with us. And yeah. I wasn't going to give him a stick, because in the 8 minutes he had my stick, he, you know, like, dropped it twice and, like, hit his brother, you know. Once we had the sticks, the run was, it was so fun. It's like mostly pretty calm. There's a couple kind of like, quote unquote, big rapids that the kids thought were hysterical. We got caught in a bunch, which they thought was fun. There's like all of these places where restaurants line the river, and there's houses. So there's tons of people. It was just very fun. I feel like this move, we are so lucky. The kids are in a real sweet spot in that they are all still young. Like, Henry has a little bit of kind of teenage attitude, but largely is like game for this stuff. And Teddy is old enough to do all of this. That plus this river, like, I'm just in this lovely little spot right now that's going to make this big trip that's happening next week manageable.
Way to find the silver lining. Nice.
It is fun, though. I love a good adventure outing. So glad we can be doing that. Well, on that note, we're going to take another quick break, and then we will see you back here for our listener question.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's hear today's listener question. Dear Mom and Dad, I have a slightly exasperating situation involving my extraordinary 8-year-old. We have twins, one boy and one girl. Why we as parents fully embrace their individuality and self-expression, we've encountered a slight hurdle in the form of my dear mom. You see, my son has taken a keen interest in experimenting with clothing, particularly skirts. And let me tell you, he rocks them with style. Both my husband and I have no issues whatsoever with his clothing choices. We celebrate his confidence. However, it seems that my mom has quite a lot to say to us about it, albeit not directly to my son. While I understand that my mom may have a different perspective and struggle to see it as normal, I don't want this difference of opinion to sour her relationship with her grandchild. After all, they share a special bond, and I want that to continue to flourish. How can I navigate this situation and help my mom understand that what may seem unusual to her is simply an expression of my son's individuality? I'm open to any creative strategies that can keep the peace and embrace the uniqueness that makes our family so wonderful. Warmly, fashionably accepting mom. P.S. Yes, we do believe that fashion knows no gender.
Well, I don't know if I have a strategy so much. It's just, you have to talk to your mom and tell her exactly that, you know, like that you all are encouraging your son to embrace his individuality and to express himself through fashion as he sees fit. And that it's important for you all to create a safe space for him to do that, which means that, you know, even if she may find it a little strange or off-putting, she needs to keep that to herself, you know. And then if she has any questions or thoughts about it, she can share that with you. But when it comes to your son, you know, if she can't say anything positive about his clothing, then she shouldn't say anything at all. And I think that's really important that you, you know, get that through to her, that no commentary is better than negative commentary. And if she were to say something disparaging, you know, or just even questioning in his choices, that could really hurt him. And I'm certain that his grandmother wouldn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if I were in your position, I feel like I would feel pretty self-righteous in how I approached it. And I think I would have to stop myself from doing so because that's probably not going to help. So if there's some way just to lovingly encourage your mother to interrogate her own beliefs, like, why is this making you uncomfortable? If this was your granddaughter and she was wearing like overalls and a baseball cap, would you feel the same way? You know, like, this isn't your kid's issue. This is your mom's issue, and you should reframe it as such. We live in a country right now where people who decide to dress, you know, against gender norms are sometimes like, you know, being bullied or worse, and like, bring that to your mother's attention that like, you need an ally in the family and not a critic. And also that like, what a cool evolution in the history of this country that like, that your grandson can wear a dress. And like, for the most part, I don't know what town you live in, you know, it's certainly dependent on where you live, but like, that your kid can do that freely and happily, like, what a cool thing. Like, you should be celebrating that with us, mom.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very curious, given like how positive the letter is otherwise about the relationship and all of this, like, what is bothering the grandma so much about it, essentially? Like, why does this strike such a chord, right? Because it seems very much from the letter that like, the parents are totally fine with it. Like, they are embracing this. They also feel like otherwise grandma's a really good influence kind of in these kids' lives and building this relationship. So I agree that like, challenging her beliefs to say like, well, what is it that bothers you? And then is there some way to provide some kind of education? Like, she may be unaware too of even just how much more prevalent this is. I think both the positive, like, education on both the positive and the negative that is surrounding this conversation. But like, there's so much more of this in the media, right? And so to be able to show her like that this exists in other places, and this is existing in a much more mainstream place. I don't, not that that matters, but I'm just wondering if she doesn't have a good picture of what things look like now, both on the side of skirts being worn much more, and the idea too that like, outside of Western cultures, they're worn by men like without a problem most places. And also, I think this education, Zach, like you mentioned, of the real ramifications of not being an ally right now. And yes, maybe she's only saying that to you, but like, eventually a kid is going to overhear, or, you know, his sister is going to overhear and say something like, this is going to get back to him. And if you're alienating him at home, what does that do for him, I think, in the bigger picture?
Yeah. And I mean, just to hammer home Jamila's point, like, you're saying that they share a special bond. You want that to continue to flourish. Say it just like that, like Jamila said, like, bring this to her. Acknowledge how much you appreciate their relationship. And you can frame it as a question, like, don't you want that to continue with your grandchild? And if the answer is no, then I mean, that's a bigger fish to fry. But I would imagine that they want to continue to embrace this special bond. And it's just like, some lifelong learning, you know, from someone in the baby boomer generation or older is like, exciting to like, learn new norms, I think.
I think it's also frightening for them too, you mm-hmm. know. And which is why some of them can be so resistant to change, you know, because at our ages, we're so familiar with the, you know, like, a man in a skirt is not such a radical concept. You know what I mean? It may be surprising if your child decides to do it and then you're like, okay, now I'm going to embrace this, but it's not something that you're unfamiliar with, you know, whereas someone of their generation could very easily be like, but skirts are for girls, you know, like, there doesn't have to be any tremendous bigotry or serious thought behind it. It's just, that's just not what boys do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I also wonder, it could also come from the place, though, of like, she's very well versed in what life looks like, right? And so this is coming from a place of fear for if my grandchild is going to wear skirts out there, there are all these like, bad things or things that could happen to them. And I think then, again, the education are saying like, I just think the approach, if you can have this conversation with her, your approach could be so much more tailored to be like, oh, okay, this is coming from a place of your fear. and being able to explain then, but the things you're saying are equally as hurtful, right, as this fear, and we don't want the fear to stop that. Or like Jamila said, I think it could also very much just be like in her day, boys don't wear skirts. And so mm-hmm. she is very confused about what is happening and why no one says anything. And we also don't really know, like, what she's saying to the parents. That might also, like, is she just saying that? Like, why is he always in a skirt?
Yeah, she could just be confused. Like, what's...
We get so many letters about grandparents. I mean, I get it. We get so many letters about grandparents. It's just so interesting to me, like, how...
how they think about our parenting and their grandkids.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like we get all these letters that are, like... I don't have a problem with what's going on, but now all of a sudden my parent or in-laws have a problem and I don't know what to do. And I suspect with these people, if it was a friend, right? Like if they had said, my friend is making fun of the skirts, the answer would be like, well, you can either not be around my child or you can get on board.
Right.
But somehow when it becomes about grandparents, it's way more complicated. I mean, one, because of the relationship with the child, but I think also like our relate, you know, figuring
we're literally
out like how do we have
middle.
This conversation in a way that's still respectful, because this letter very much seems that she also has a good relationship with her mm-hmm. mother.
Yeah, when we're stuck in the middle and trying to please both our kids and our parents, it gets complicated.
But I don't think she'd be writing in if she thought it was a good, like an easy conversation to have, you know, like, so I think even when we have really good relationships, it's like funny how hard it is to be like, hey, times have changed.
And not wanting to rock the boat sometimes, because for some people, that's the easiest way to have a good relationship with your grandparent or your parents, you know, is to just kind of defer to them or allow them to be the authority on certain things. But when it comes to something like this, you just simply can't. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's such a good point. Well, fashionably accepting mom, thank you so much for writing to us. If anyone out there has any advice for this family or has dealt with something similar, you can always share it at momanddad@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. Then that's our show. Please subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Zach Rosen and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.